and welcome to Ending Physician Overwhelm. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Mello. I'm a family and obesity medicine physician, as well as a certified life coach for physicians. In this podcast, we talk about how the learned habits of people-pleasing, perfectionism, and a lack of boundaries show up in our lives and how they contribute to burnout, exhaustion, and overwhelm. The healthcare system is broken, my friends, but let's not wait for it to be fixed in order to feel better. Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Ending Physician Overwhelm. I'm so glad that you're here. Today, we're going to be talking about a question to be asking yourself, which is, what is the story in my head? And before we dive into the issue, I want to call out that we are not going to be gaslighting ourselves here. Most of us have experienced plenty of gaslighting in our lives in general and in medicine. And it would be really easy for us to use this work, use this question against ourselves. So, for example, I talk to lots of physicians who are in pretty difficult work circumstances. They're being asked to work very long hours on call with very little backup, very little support, you know, expected to be, you know, highly productive with having very little break time, you know, either at work or in between shifts. Right? Being asked to take unpaid work, being asked to do things that are just not reasonable for humans to do for years and years on end. We are not going to use this work to tell ourselves that that is okay. We are not meant to work 72 hours straight without sleep. We are not meant to go 14 hours without eating or using the bathroom. So do not use this work to take yourself to that place. All right. But why are we bringing this up? So we all make up stories in our minds. That is what human beings do. It is not special to you or me or to medicine. It is just what our human brains do. It's what they're designed to do. We like to believe that as physicians, we are fact-driven. You know, we operate based on evidence and science and data and knowledge. But our brains are wired for story. They all are. We are meant to connect pieces of factual information with emotional overlay and use it to interpret events that are going on now or in the future. That is what the human brain does, and it does it in various ways, right? We learn to connect sounds or things that we observe with an emotion. For example, if you hear a rustling in the bushes and you see a snake, you feel fear. The next time that you hear a rustling in the bushes, your brain will tell you, oh God, there might be a snake and that's dangerous, right? You will feel fear even if it was just, I don't know, a bird, a bunny, the wind. We are wired to create story. And from an evolutionary perspective, that is what has helped keep us safe. It has helped to protect us from danger. It has also helped to keep us alive, right? We learn the experience that, oh, if this food tastes good, I need to eat food in order to survive. Okay, let's take it out of the modern food environment where we're over surrounded by food. But thinking about, you know, in our hunter-gatherer days, we needed to eat food. And so we got a dopamine hit when we found a berry bush, right? We got a cue to eat more of that food because that would help to keep us alive, right? There are very primitive biological drivers of this need to create story. And so again, this is just something that we're all wired to do, but it can very easily take us into places where we are keeping ourselves stuck, making things more difficult for ourselves. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. So where does this come up? I want to share a few examples of things I've heard recently from my clients and see what resonates with you. And then we'll talk about what we're going to do about it. So one client who I was working with was really trying to work on getting her health goals. She had some weight struggles and was looking for help with that. But she found that she was constantly getting distracted because her house was not very organized. Now, this is a hardworking female physician. She has a family. She has multiple people living under her roof, right? And it is hard when you live with other humans and you are a human to keep your house organized, right? Especially if those other humans are not so interested in helping you with that task. They're not bothered by it. But every time we would talk about, hey, what's going on? What's getting in the way? You know, how do we want to move forward? She would find herself being really stuck that she had these other things in her mind that she needed to do first. Now, what is the connection there between her house being organized and being able to take care of her health? Right? If we dive into that story, we could see that maybe she feels like she has to take care of, you know, what society's priorities are first, right? Thou shalt have a clean house before she could attend to her own health and well-being. Maybe she thought that she would feel more calm, that if the house was organized, she would feel more calm, that would give her more bandwidth to be able to take care of her own health, right? Perhaps she thought, well, then I'll finally have time. There are a lot of different potential areas where we might be telling ourselves a story in order to, you know, make meaning of the fact that we haven't started to take care of our health. I see that story over and over again with clients and with patients, right? We have a lot of conditions in place that must be met before we are able to attend to our health, especially if we're in a caregiver role. What happens there in that particular instance, though, is that often we have a story about an unachievable goal, right? We can organize the house, but that's not the real task. It's not just deciding where everything goes, right? It's keeping it that way, which again, if you live with other humans and you are human yourself, is a challenge, right? And so it's not that it's a completion task, right? It's, you know, perhaps finding a system. I don't know. It depends on how much you care about having a tidy house. But when the thing that you want is tied to something that is not a check the box and it's done sort of task, you can see how you will never get to that thing that really is keeping you from meeting your health goals, right? You will always be able to say, well, it's not done. It's not organized. I don't feel these ways. And therefore, I cannot make progress on these other areas of my life that are important to me. Sometimes we have stories about things connected to our work. When people are coming to me and they're really exploring new job options, they might, you know, have a job opportunity in front of them or be looking for new physician opportunities. And often that is coming from a place of leaving a current position, right? Leaving some kind of current work situation, which is usually fairly untenable. I shouldn't say fairly, it's untenable, right? It's unsustainable for what they need. When that's going on, because the person is in a situation where they are currently miserable and currently feeling stuck, they often have story in their heads about needing to pick the perfect situation so that they will not be in this place again. You can see the connection here between a current and past experience and projecting things onto the future. We think, I'm so stuck and unhappy and miserable in this position that I need to find the perfect opportunity that is somewhere else so that I will never be in this position again. Part of the work there, I would argue, is deciding how we are going to approach a job differently. Now, of course, with a job where you're being employed by somebody else, there are conditions that you have to meet. But again, we also have a lot of story about how we do the job, about how we get our work done, about, you know, what is the work? If you have story that your notes need to be these long, beautiful essays with complete sentences and no typos, and, you know, they just need to be these well thought out stories that someone would publish somewhere, you're going to struggle to get your notes done. And it doesn't matter where that next job is, that's going to be something that you bring with you. No one job is going to make your life perfect. And that is true whether you're seeking an employed position or whether you are creating your own practice or going out into some kind of new venture, right? You have to get real on the stories that you're telling yourself right now in your current position with the things that you control before you take that into a new job. But also, because we've had that experience of feeling very stuck and feeling like things can't improve in this current situation, we also can struggle with thinking that we have to find a perfect situation so that we will avoid all of that in the future. The generation of physicians who came before me, the premillennial physicians, often had careers where they stayed in one place for a very long time. I can think of lots of physicians who were my teachers who were at their institution their whole career. And that was very normal. People just picked a job, they stayed put. That has become less and less of a trend. I'm not going to say that it doesn't exist at all, because of course it does. But this idea that we can have this and should have this perfect job where we stay for 20 or 30 years in our career, to a large extent, doesn't exist anymore. The field of medicine, the way that clinical practices have shifted and evolved, the way hospitals have bought up clinics, the way private equity is coming in, you know, the emergence of direct primary and specialty care, things are shifting. So we don't have to pick a job, right? We can stop telling ourselves the story that we need something that's perfect for the rest of our career when we really don't know what we'll need 10 years from now. We can decide, you know, it's enough right now for me to pick what is important to me right now. Let go of that story, right? That I need to pick the perfect thing for forever and decide I'm going to pick something that's working for me right now and I'm going to try it on. So another place where we get locked into story. You might also have some stories that I kind of touched on before about how we do our work, right? If I could just get my notes done, if I just had more help, if patients just stopped asking me for all the things. There are a lot of opportunities that we are thinking, I have to do things in this way. And we have the opportunity to stop and say, is that true? Do I have to do things this way? Maybe I've always written these long, beautiful notes, and it's really slowing me down. It's keeping me from moving on. It's keeping me working for several hours every night after work, after the kids are in bed. If I don't want to do that anymore, then I'm going to need to let go of the story that this is the only way for me to get my notes done. And I'm going to need to decide that that is not the case, right? No one is actually telling me you have to write publishable, you know, publish worthy, you know, beautiful, elaborate notes. No, you need to include the facts. You want to include, you know, pertinent details of the history and your exam, your clinical decision-making. You want to make it good enough that you can bill for the work that you've done, right? That you can bill adequately for the work that you've done and not the story about how much or how little it's worth. No, like what are the actual decisions? If you are in the primary care world, right? Two stable chronic diseases that you've addressed in a single visit is a 99214 for an established patient, right? It doesn't matter if it's anxiety and depression or blood pressure that's doing well. And I don't know, pick some and depression, right? We'll just pick on depression today. Those two things together are a 99214. As you have two stable chronic conditions, even if you don't change anything, code for the work that you're doing, let go of the story that your work and your value is not enough because you didn't do anything. Lots of tangents today, bear with me. Let's transition. I hope you can see with those examples, there are lots of places where stories creep up in our minds. And again, there's nothing wrong with us that we're doing that. That is just how human brains are wired. We are designed to create story and we do it all of the time, even as much as we think we are rational, fact-based creatures. So what do we do? What I'd like to invite you to do is a fairly straightforward, simple practice. And you can decide to do this anywhere that you feel constantly stuck or struggling or just find yourself spinning about something. The first step is simply to do a brain dump and just write it out. Write it out, you know, on paper. You can certainly do it on your computer, although handwriting has some merits to it in terms of brain and memory and executive function. Get the story out of your head. Write down everything that's kind of swirling through as you think about this problem, including thoughts that you might label as silly, like, oh, it's so stupid to write that down. Write it down anyway. Once you've written it down, then start to go through and label sentences. Fact, story, fact story, because you will see that there are some things that are observable facts, right? The patient's appointment was at 10 a.m. The patient was checked in at 10:15. The appointment is 20 minutes. Those are all facts, right? We could see them if we were, you know, in our electronic medical record, right? We can see those details, right? We could all agree that that was, you know, the story. That was the fact. But the story might be, this patient's trying to ruin my day. I can't believe they did this again. You know, how does the front desk not know that we have a policy where they shouldn't check people in that late, right? They should reschedule, right? We can have a lot of story about what's going on. And it doesn't mean that we don't take actions or steps or, you know, say no or make a different decision. But if I'm sitting here thinking that the patient is trying to ruin my day, and I'm thinking that I have to see them, even though maybe we have a policy that if they check in 10 minutes late, I don't have to see them, but they got checked in anyway, right? I could still say no. There are lots of opportunities there for, you know, me to make a different decision. But if I'm caught up in the story that this patient's tried to ruin my life, that the front desk doesn't care, you know, any number of other details, you know, that I've filled in, then I'm probably going to be emotionally spent. I'm not going to say no. I'm going to be frustrated. Maybe I'm going to be hurt or irritable. Any of that, like, that's not going to create a good experience, right? But you can see if I'm caught up in the story and the emotions, I am draining my energy. When you've got it teased out, what is fact and what is fiction? Then start to look at what happens when I believe this story? What happens when I tell myself this story? If I tell myself that this patient is trying to ruin my day, what does that create for me? You know, whether or not I see them, right? It probably doesn't create good emotions. It probably doesn't help, you know, my energy. It probably doesn't help me to be kind or polite. It probably just creates a whole lot of yuck, a whole lot of feeling like people are out to get me. And, you know, I have felt that way about patients, and I know that other people feel that way about patients as well. So what happens when I believe the story that the patient intentionally showed up late and is trying to ruin my day, right? Not good things. Now, what would be more helpful? I can look at, you know, kind of the details. They checked in late. You know, I know that they're there for a not urgent issue. I could choose to, you know, chat with them for a few minutes and maybe check their blood pressure and say, okay, we're going to continue on this medicine. I'd like you to go get your labs. And that's all we have time for today. I could choose to have a very short curtailed visit and not be involved in my story. I can simply say, I'm sorry, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do, you know, the whole visit today. And this is what we're going to be able to do. I could communicate to my front desk that I'm not going to be able to see them today. It would be more helpful to decide that I have some agency here, to decide, yeah, that person is probably having a bad day. I don't know what happened, but they showed up late. I know I hate being late. You know, maybe if I have the bandwidth, maybe I will see them. Decide for yourself what is going to be more helpful. You know, if the generous assumption that you can make about them is that they're frazzled and they're not going to be in a good place to discuss treatment for whatever they're coming in for, then yeah, maybe we're going to make the decision. You know what? We were going to have a difficult conversation today, and I think that I'm just going to choose to say, no, we can't have this conversation today. They're going to need to come back, right? It's going to be more helpful for me to, you know, make some executive decisions about what is in my capacity, what might be in their capacity, you know, and just decide that that's what I'm going to go with. You won't land on perfect solutions here, but if we can start to separate in our brain what is fact and what is fiction, we have much more opportunity to be able to frame things in a way that's helpful for ourselves. We have much more autonomy. We have much more ability to, I don't want to say control our experience, because that sounds, I don't know, control freak and perfectionistic, but we have more ability to create an experience that we want, to be able to be in control of our decisions, to be able to be acting with autonomy, to be acting with generosity towards other people, rather than feeling really hemmed in. So again, those steps are, you know, kind of write the brain down, get it all out of your head. Identify what is fact and what is fiction. And then ask myself, Is that story helpful? Are there other stories here that might be more helpful? Do I know that that is the story? And how am I different when I assume that that is the story, or if I choose a different story, right? We have the opportunity to create a different lived experience. And we can only do that if we really get clear on, oh, my brain is telling me that this might be the reason, right? They showed up late. My friends, I'm going to leave it at that for today. I hope that this has been helpful. And please reach out with your questions and comments. I'd love to hear from you. If you're looking for some support with doing this work in your own life, please go to my website, which is www.healthierforgood.com. And you can schedule a free one-on-one consult for us to talk about working together. Until next time, have a great rest of your day. Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that's our show for today. Thank you as always for listening. To learn more about my coaching programs, head to www.healthierforgood.com. And if you love this podcast, please drop us a review on iTunes or support the show by clicking the link in the show notes. Until next time, take care.